It is a good day. It is a good day. Beautiful weather outside, and I know that some students are excited about the fact that this is the last week of school that's upcoming, right? Some are excited. Congratulations. You survived another year, and some of you survived the entire of your high school career as well, so congratulations. All right, so we gather together today, not to hear me try to figure out how to waste time, but rather try to figure out how we can best come to God this morning. Because we recognize that in lifting his hands, Jesus blessed all that came across his path, and we also come to the realization that Jesus continues to bless us today. So let us gather together and worship with this morning's call to worship and this responsive reading. Beloved, let us worship God.
Let us give praise to God, the one who brought us on high.
Parent to orphans and protector of widows.
God gives the desolate home and leads the imprisoned in prosperity.
As God led the Israelites through the wilderness and provided for them.
We too find
the writer in the heavens speaks throughout creation.
We gather to attend for our power and God. Awesome is God in the sanctuary of creation. Let us be God. Amen.
Let us pray. Breath of God, renew us in this time of worship. Help us set aside the thoughts that trouble us. Help us pause the challenges of the world that taunt us. Pour your spirit within each one of us, that we may be re-spirited in this hour, and by your power and your grace. Amen.
Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful day. Now this morning, would you please stand as we welcome the light of Christ in?
Good morning. We are going to read the opening scripture, which will be Psalm 68, 1 through 10, and 32 through 35. I know the sinful utterance of the wicked. No fear of God confronts their own eyes, because in their own eyes they are slick with talk about their guilt over being found out and despised. The words of their mouths are evil and dishonest. They have stopped being wise and stopped doing good. They plot evil even while resting in bed. They commit themselves to a path that is no good. They don't reject what is evil. But your loyal love, Lord, extends into the skies. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strongest mountains. Your justice is like the deepest sea. Lord, you save both humans and animals. Your faithful love is priceless, God. Humanity finds refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the bounty of your house, and you let them drink from your river of pure joy. Within you is the spring of life. In your light, we see light. Extend your faithful love to those who know you. Extend your righteousness to those whose heart is right. The wicked, on the other hand, target the righteous, seeking to kill them. But the Lord won't leave the righteous to the power of the wicked, and won't let the righteous be found guilty when they are judged. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will lift you up so you can possess the land. When the wicked are eliminated, you will see it for yourself. I myself have seen wicked, powerful people exalting themselves like a stately cedar. Dear God, bless our home. We pray that your love may rest upon us and that your presence may dwell with us. May we all grow in grace and in knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior. Teach us to love one another as you have commanded. Lord, be with our country and leaders. Only you in the hearts of our people can fix this. God, be with Ben today as he brings a message. And Lord, be with him as he starts his new adventure. And be with us as a congregation that the next right person comes along to continue to lead us. In your precious name, amen. And now if you'll say the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time, the ushers will be coming forward to collect this morning's tithes and offerings. And as they come forward to do so, let us remember that we are blessed by God's word. And so, as a result, let us respond boldly to God's grace with abundant giving for the mission and ministry of this church. And as we give, let us not forget to give our hearts over as the truly worthy living sacrifice for our Lord, today, tomorrow, and moving forward. Endless source of life, pour your blessing upon the gifts we bring before you. Bless our giving in your abundance for the restoration for all people. Through our offering, may those who are weary be energized. May those who feel forgotten find a home. With the joy of your grace filling our hearts, we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, and then chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. So hear now the word from our scriptures this morning. Dear friends, don't be surprised about the fiery trials that have come among you to test you. These are not strange happenings. Instead, rejoice as you share Christ's suffering. You share his suffering now so that you may also have overwhelming joy when his glory is revealed. If you're mocked because of Christ's name, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory, indeed the Spirit of God, rests on you. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's power so that he may raise you up in the last day. Throw all your anxiety onto him because he cares about you. Be clear-headed. Keep alert. Your accuser, the devil, is on the prowl like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Do so in the knowledge that your fellow believers are enduring the same suffering throughout the world. After you have suffered for just a little while, the God of all grace, the one who called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself restore, empower, strengthen, and establish you. To him be power forever and always. Amen. These are the words from our scripture this morning. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning recognizing that we have a lot of anxiety and a lot of worries that go through us. So, Lord, I pray that as we explore this message from 1 Peter and go back to the psalm just a little bit, may our hearts and minds be open to receive that which your Spirit would have us receive this day. Lord, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer, now and forever. Amen. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Man, that sounds nice, doesn't it? I mean, really, like it sounds great. Because I'm not sure about all of you, but it seems as though we all have these stressors, we all have these anxieties, we all have these worries that we're dealing with in our lives on a daily basis. It's almost like an Oprah giveaway, but instead of a car, it's anxiety. You get anxiety, you get anxiety, you get anxiety. This is how my brain works. That was funny to me. But you get it. Anxiety, it comes in so many ways and shapes and forms, and it comes from so many different origins. Okay, Ben, we get it. We all have anxiety to some degree. And then we come to this verse that tells us to just cast your anxiety on him. And there's a sense of relief that comes with those words. It's like, finally, I get to take a break from it. Finally. And this isn't the first time that you've heard this either. I mean, we've heard it. We've said it. We've been taught that to be a good Christian, this is precisely what we are supposed to do. How many of you have grown up hearing, well, if you're worried or if you have anxiety, then it must be because you're not a good enough Christian, because you're supposed to be able to put all of those burdens at the foot of the cross. And if you're feeling this way, then, well, you just don't have faith or you don't trust in Jesus enough. Is it just me that's heard this or gotten this idea? We've all heard this to some degree because we're supposed to be able to do this. Leave your worries at the foot of the cross. How many times have we said, give it over to Jesus? This is probably my favorite. How many times have we said, let Jesus take the wheel? Right? It's the same thing. It's a simple idea. We hear it and we say it all the time. But then there's this real question that comes up as a result from this. It sounds nice to be able to hear we can just cast all of our anxiety on Jesus. But how? How do you do it? You can't just say you got to do something without giving detailed instructions about how to go about doing it, right? It's not fair. How do you do it? We're trying not to skew too pessimist here. Can we do it? Is such a thing humanly possible to actually cast our anxiety, to actually cast our worry on Jesus? Surely it has to be, right? I mean, Peter wouldn't be presenting to us something that we're called to do that would be beyond our human capabilities. God wouldn't be asking us to do something that we weren't designed to do. After all, God's not in the frustration business, last I checked. So if that's the case, if this is indeed possible, why are those questions on our minds then? Give it up to Jesus. Okay, how? Where does that how question really come from? Well, it comes from years of experience, right? From years of trying and practicing. And even with the knowledge that Jesus cares for us, even with the knowledge that God loves us, we've still found through experience that it is extremely hard to let go of those anxieties, to actually let go of those worries. Especially when Peter does this fantastic job of describing the human experience in such horrifying details as he did. Did you notice that? How we should be prepping ourselves for fiery trials and how that's a normal thing? Did you catch the devil prowling around like a lion wanting to devour something or someone? Like, thank you, Peter, for telling me not to worry about things and then giving me a list of things to worry about. That doesn't seem hardly fair. I mean, it can seem like the world is out to get you. But then when Peter is writing these things out, it's like validity is being given to our worries. Right? Somehow, seeing it in print makes us worry all the more about it. These fears, these concerns, these anxieties, they are real. They are overwhelming and perhaps even scarier. They're mine. Right? So how are we just supposed to cast them aside if they're mine? I mean, we grew up being taught that you're supposed to take responsibility for what's yours, right? So how irresponsible would it be just to cast off what's yours, right? So we hold on to it. Maybe if we ignore it, maybe if we just ignored our anxieties, maybe if we just ignored our problems, it would just go away, right? That sounds great. How many of you have just wanted to stay in bed, pull the covers up over your sheets, and just like hide from the world? Just hoping that whatever problems are coming across will just like go away? Oh, if only it worked that way. We can't do that either. Peter isn't giving us a pass to ignore the problems that are obviously disturbing us and are also all around us. It might be really easy to hear these things being said and then to say to ourselves that it's all about disengaging and choosing to live purposefully and blissfully ignorant of all that's going on around us. Well, just cast all your worries away. Cast all your anxieties away. Does that mean I just get to forget about it? Nope. Bringing your problems to Jesus isn't the same as avoiding responsibility or simply saying, that's not my problem. It's true, we do make some things our problem. That isn't. But at the same time, we know the things in our lives that are properly ours. So how do we process them? How do we deal with them? How do we cast our anxiety off on Jesus? If we look a little closer into the text, we find a number of things from 1 Peter that might help us understand what it is that he's calling us to do and understand. And the word that so many translations render as anxiety in the KJV translation is rendered as care. I'm just going to go ahead and read for you 1 Peter 5, verse 7 from the King James Version. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's interesting because in the translation, that word that's rendered care, it's actually singular. I mean, maybe sometimes we've heard this sentiment being, you know, cast your cares upon Jesus. But no, we're being told to cast your care upon Jesus in the KJV translation. So when we say casting your care, when we say cast your cares, we're actually mistranslating this suggestion or this command from the text. Because we're supposed to be casting our care upon Jesus. So does that mean we get to select just one thing to care about? One thing that's bothering us? We get to pass on one care, but the rest of the cares we have to keep and wrestle with or struggle with? Is that what we're supposed to be trying to do? Or is it that Jesus can only handle one problem at a time or one petition per prayer, please? Come back tomorrow. It'd be really easy to get hung up on the singular versus plural of just that word care. But maybe we should consider a different interpretation of how we're reading this. What if it wasn't about the individual problems or each particular care that besets us, that sets us back a little bit? What if instead we're being challenged with our approach to how we handle our problems? Let's try looking at this casting your care and looking at it and translating it as saying instead, cast all your caring on him. Or maybe even a different way of putting it, set aside your tendency to become anxious about each problem that you face. Any of you ever feel that way? You come across a problem in your life, and what do? You automatically assume the worst. Oh, there's a problem. There's an issue. Oh, this is how this is going to go wrong in this way, in this way, in that way. I see a couple of chuckles. And I'm not being funny. It's because you realize, oh, I've done this before. I've gone to this negative thought spiral in my head before. Something just popped up, and even though I now recognize it as completely ridiculous, this is where my brain went. This is even where my heart went. Admittedly, it doesn't make your problems disappear when you decide to look at this as a choice about how you respond. When we recognize that it's more about cast all your caring on Him or setting aside your tendency to become anxious about each problem you face, it doesn't make your problems disappear, which I think all of us would honestly prefer in the end. I mean, how great would it be if our problems would just disappear without having to do anything about it? That'd be great, wouldn't it? But it does help us to shift our mindset in such a way that we can handle whatever is thrown our way with a healthier response. This shift in mindset gives you the freedom to look for options in the midst of problems, in the midst of frustrations and obstacles. And ultimately, this shift in mindset helps us look for ways that we can trust that with God, all things are possible. So Peter isn't suggesting that we should just ignore our problems. Peter isn't suggesting that we should just stop caring altogether. The verse itself speaks of how much Jesus does indeed care. Instead, Peter is suggesting that we should stop worrying. You have to know that Peter was a worrier like so many of us. You might have picked it up in a few times, in a few of the stories in the scripture, you know, with Jesus and some of his interactions, to the point where at one point in time, Jesus flat out tells Peter, "Don't be anxious. Do not be afraid." We know that Peter, like us, was a worrier because he didn't have all those details that we as human beings like to have to feel comfortable. Right? So this all sounds well and good, but there's still that practical matter of, well, how? So we've shifted from thinking about just simply throwing our cares haphazardly at Jesus to recognizing, okay, well, it's more about how do we process and how do we shift our mindset? How do we shift our way of thinking about how we respond to our problems? Okay, well, that sounds good. Shift our way of thinking from negative, negative, negative. But how do we do that? We still have that practical matter of how that we have to deal with. How do we put this concept into practice? And thankfully, this is where the lectionary's reading of Psalm 68 this morning comes into play. Because it actually begins to give us a model of how to cast our anxiety onto the one who cares for us. This process of worrying on to him. The psalm starts, as many psalms do, and as we often start ourselves, with complaining or being angry or being frustrated about something, about all the bad things that are surrounding us all the time. But the psalm quickly moves to a different mode, as if casting aside those attitudes and feelings. Instead of dwelling in that anger, instead of dwelling in the anxiety, instead of dwelling in the worry, we read, "But let the righteous rejoice." That "but" is incredibly important because that's where the shift begins to happen for the psalmist. There is a choice that we're being offered here. It's not a both and situation. All these things are not going well in my life, but let's let that go and move into joy instead. That is what the psalmist is wanting to hear. It's not ignoring the issues. It's not ignoring the problems. It's not ignoring the anxiety or the worry. Instead, let us choose to work through and process it differently. We don't have to let that run our life, because we still have a choice. So how do we get into joy? Well, we start by describing God and then what God has done for us, and then move into what God is currently doing for us and with us and even through us. The idea being that when we focus on what is right and on what is good, then what is broken begins to lose its power to define our life as we know it. Some of you may have heard this term before, positive growth mindset. And it's where you remind yourself of the things that you're grateful for and the things that are going well in your life. You make the conscious decision to remind yourself, not everything is bad after all. There are countless guided journals, there are even daily planners that have a section devoted to what are you grateful for right now? Those three things every day. And it's not just hokey. It's not just to make you feel good about yourself. It is literally rewiring your brain from what we've been taught to do and what we've slid into doing, which is only focus on the negative. How many of you purposely avoid the people in around you that you know are just going to be negative? That you know are just going to drag you down every single step of the way? And you tell yourself, I hope I never become like them. And then the next day, what do you find yourself doing? Being negative. Right? How many of you, if you're honest with yourselves, have found yourself being more negative each and every single day as they've gone on? You can only tell yourself, well, I guess I just have to live with this so many times before that becomes your automatic response. Well, I'm just going to be miserable if this happens. Or you come to the reactionary negative. The more often you do it, it's like a muscle that you're flexing. You get better at it over time. The concept behind positive growth mindset is when you purposefully and consciously remind yourself of the good things, you begin to fight that impulse to jump to the negative. And before long, you actually find yourself beginning to think automatically in terms of positive instead, if you practice this long enough intentionally. So before long, it goes from, well, there's no way it's going to work out because worst case scenario, to then you begin to think, well, it could work. And then you begin to think, this is going to work. And this is going to be good. This has the potential to be awesome. It's the same idea here that Peter is presenting. It's the same idea that the psalmist is presenting. Intentionally remind yourself of how God has shown up for you in the past and how God is showing up for you now. It moves us from saying God's nowhere in this situation to this is how God is walking with me even in the worst of it. Do you see that shift? How do we get there? How do we get to the point where we can tell ourselves, well, I'm grateful for God for X, Y, and Z? Well, you can start by reading the scripture and seeing how God has shown up for God's people in the past. You can dig into the history of the church to see how God has shown up for the church. You can even dig into the history of what's going on here in the history of this church of Oxford. And you can begin to see trends and you can begin to see where God has shown up in the past. And you know, do you know how the attitude shifts when you're like, well, we don't do anything, to then you start listing out the things that y'all do? And it goes from discouragement, we don't do anything, we're dying, to we actually have some vitality in us. We're still alive and kicking. Imagine that. The attitude, it shifts because we remind ourselves that God is present and God is with us. You might be surprised by how quickly your attitude does change as a result. You might be surprised by how quickly your spiritual life gets healthy as a result of that. When you begin to look into the past of what God has done, you also begin to see these are the ways that God has shown up before, and I'm now able to see those same ways how God is still showing up now. We then get to ask ourselves the question, not why is God not here with us, but instead we get to ask ourselves the question, how is God bringing healing now? Because I know that God is. How is healing being brought? How is hope being rekindled? Where are the hungry being fed and the poor being lifted up? And when we know how God is described in the story of the people of God, when we recognize the presence of God here and we see it at work in and around us, even, dare I say it, through us, our lives are no longer defined by the power of negativity. We're no longer stuck in negative thought cycles or negative spiritual cycles because we've learned to look to God automatically and to see how God has shown up. And we see how God continues and remains to be faithful. Maybe if you can't see how God is showing up now, maybe the next question is, okay, well, what am I doing to actively try to see? If you wear glasses and you start complaining, well, I can't see anything. Well, did you put your glasses on? Did you intentionally try to help your vision at all? How are you trying to intentionally help your spiritual vision moving forward? Or are you just going to be stuck in the mud, in the mire of, oh, I'm anxious, oh, I'm worried, oh, I'm tired? You tell yourself that enough times, you believe it and you feel it. Once we've cast our tendency to be anxious on the one who tells us not to worry, not the anxieties, our choices to be anxious, once we get rid of our choice to be anxious and to remain anxious, then acting like we can be the sign of God's presence by how we live our lives actually becomes possible. Don't ignore the problems, but don't let those problems run you. Don't let those problems define you. Don't let yourself spin out of control because you've got issues. We've all got issues. Like Paul, I'm the king of issues. But we don't have to let those issues define how we respond to the people around us. Once we let go of what we're afraid of what could go wrong, and we grab a hold of to what the vision of the kingdom calls us to do and to be, once we grab hold of this idea that through God all things are possible, then we find that we and everyone around us stops wondering what God is doing these days, because we're actually seeing what God is doing these days and we're encouraged by it. At that point, we become instruments of praise and rejoicing. So may we be a people that casts our tendency to be anxious, our tendency to be angry, our tendency to be frustrated, our tendency to worry. May we be a people that casts those negative tendencies towards Jesus. Because the Lord cares for you. Because the Lord cares for us. May we be a people who see what God is doing in and around and through us, so that we can become even more effective instruments of God's blessing this day and tomorrow and beyond. Let us pray. God, it is really easy for us to get stuck in these worry cycles. Really easy for us to just turn negative and say, well, that can't be done because this or that. But Lord, we know at the same time that you are calling us to so much more. We know that you are calling us to health through and through. We know that you are calling us to see you in the midst of all the struggles. So Lord, this day and moving forward, help us to make the conscious decision that even though we do need to deal with and process our problems, our anxieties, that which brings us worry, once we've identified what is properly ours, help us learn not to let those things define us. Help us learn to not allow those things to dictate our responses to others. Lord, be with us. And help us to see how you are at work in the world around us. And even how you're at work in those frustrations. Help us to see your goodness moving forward this day and always. In your name we pray. Amen. Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the rains fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm on your face. Until we meet again, don't just jump to the worst-case scenarios. Allow yourself to remember, this is where God has been with me before, and this is where God is still with me now. Remind yourself that you are still in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.